Welcome to Red Meat, the conservative news update you need from Odyssey stations across the country. This is the place where we're not afraid to dig in. So, the government is shut down, and that has somehow managed this far to be boring. So we'll just let that simmer in the background while we talk about a bigger theme. Chaos. So many things are happening so fast that it's difficult to keep track of where we stand today. But we'll give it a shot. First up is a conversation about crime and why it's running rampant in some places, while Democrats seem to be fighting against any sense of law and order. Here's Rich Zaoli on WPHT in Philadelphia.
The president now is sending in the National Guard and federal law enforcement to San Francisco. Gavin Newsom doesn't want it. J.B. Pritzker doesn't want it in Illinois. You see a pattern here? Instead of these cities and these places turning around and saying, thank you, Mr. President, thank you for the help, they fight him on every turn. This has become the new call of the resistance. The new call of the resistance now is to turn around and say, no, we don't want your help. We don't want you to clean up our cities. We don't want you to clean up our crime problem. We don't want you to help protect the people in our cities. We don't want that. We're going to turn around and we are going to stand in your way as much as we possibly can. Really? Yeah, that's what they do. And then you think to yourself, well, how's this play? Well, how's the shutdown play? CNN did a report on that. Harry Enten, the shutdown, Democrats are getting blamed for the shutdown. Democrats are getting blamed for these cities being overridden by crime. People don't want crime. And people believe the Democrats are just doing nothing other than trying to resist. And it's showing in the polls. Cut number 16, CNN looking at the effects right now and how Trump is in a much better spot than 2018, 2019. Take a listen.
That's exactly right. Turns out shutdowns are different the second time around when it comes to Donald Trump. Take a look here. You know, we speak about Donald Trump shutdowns, net approval rating. We're talking 20 days into it. In 2018/2019, Donald Trump's net approval rating was already falling. The shutdown was eating into his popular support. It was down 3 points already at this particular point and would fall considerably more. It was very much on the decline. You come over to this side of the screen. This shutdown hasn't eaten into Donald Trump's support at all. His net approval rating is actually up a point in terms of his popular support. So the bottom line is this. The first shutdown during Trump's first term, 2018-2019, was hurting Donald Trump. This one is not hurting him at all. There's no real reason Donald Trump might say, at least when it comes to popular support, I want to get out of the shutdown.
What about the question of blame?
Yeah, okay. What about the question of blame? Okay, you see here, you see Donald Trump's net approval rating was down 2018 to 2019. You talk about 2025 as net approval rating is up. It comes down to the blame game, a game I loved to play when I was younger. Blame Trump for the shutdown a great deal. In 2018/2019, 61%, more than 3 in 5 Americans blame Trump a great deal for that particular shutdown. You come over to this side of the screen, look at this. It's a different world. It's a different world. 48% of Americans blame Trump a great deal for this particular shutdown. So it's more than 3 in 5 back in 2018/2019. It's less than half, a drop of 13 points. Again, it's no real wonder that Donald Trump at this point, looking at the shutdown, says, you know what? It's not actually harming me politically, in large part because he's getting less of the blame.
And he's doing things differently during this shutdown.
Yes, exactly right. You know, we talk about Donald Trump and you say, okay, he wants to be a consequential, influential president. Well, if the legislative process is basically freezed up, you know, on Capitol Hill, you may say, well, then he can't actually get legislation through. But that's not how Trump is governing in this term. We've spoken about this over and over and over again. He's using his pen. He's using executive orders. Trump executive orders at this point of presidency. In 2017, it was just 50. Look at this. Already 210 executive orders signed by Donald Trump during this presidency. That is the most in a year. You have to go all the way back since Franklin Delano Roosevelt to find a president who signed more executive orders in a year than Donald Trump has already signed this time around. And remember, John Berman, we still have 2 months to go in this year, so it wouldn't be surprising to me if he signs even more.
Yeah, seems to be saying, Congress, you don't want to do something?
I'll do it.
I'll do it. Harry Enten, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you know what he'll do? He'll cut stuff. I'm fine with that, by the way. I'm totally fine with that. I am in no rush to reopen the government. I'm okay. But let's understand, politically speaking, Democrats are getting the blame. Just like I told you they would. I told you that. I said that to you. I told you because the average person out there thinks the Democrats are doing nothing other than be the resistance. And they didn't elect this guy because they didn't want things to get done. They elected him because they wanted things to get done. and they wanted things to get done, not just people making asinine videos of themselves, like Cut 17. So this is Cory Booker, Count Grandstangelis, Spartacus Booker, and the Tears of Rage Band, and Matt DeSantis' favorite member of Congress, Adam Schiff. The two of them together hanging out. Oh, actually, Swalwell is your favorite member of Congress. I forgot. I'm thinking of the wrong jackass in that. But right. Swalwell's the tutor. Schiff is the mortgage frauder, right?
Yeah, pencil neck, I believe.
Yeah, pencil neck Adam Schiff, the mortgage frauder. Eric Swalwell is the tutor, the grand tutor. Besides, why would Booker be hanging out with a lowly member of the House of Representatives, right? That'd be beneath him. Count Grandstangela, Spartacus, Booker, and the Tears of Rage Band. So this is what democracy looks like. Here's a video of the two of these guys embracing each other. And then you wonder why they're losing. Really, you wonder why Democrats are losing. Take a listen.
This is what democracy looks like.
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 A little bit of Howard Dean there by Cory Booker at the end, huh? A little Howard Dean with the scream. Yeah!
The Democrats protested the GOP at demonstrations this weekend they called No Kings. And the most interesting thing about that was the memes that came out of it. Here's Zaoli with more.
Well, then the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi, decided she was really going to show everybody up. And I guess she could not find a Burger King crown, because that's what I would have thought. I thought this entire thing was a protest against Burger King, by the way. I did. I thought the entire No Kings Day was driven by McDonald's or Wendy's or, you know, whatever. But because it's the only king I know is that creepy king from Burger King that comes on TV who doesn't, you know, his face doesn't move. It's creepy. You know what I mean? And you can get a king, you can get a crown at Burger King. Like your kid's birthday party, they'll give you one. I think it comes in their Happy Meals. I don't know. I can't remember the last time I've been to Burger King. I don't know. But hey, I'm not here to argue fast food with you. I'm just simply saying that I thought this entire thing was a protest against that dude, that creepy king from Burger King. And I think the vampiric one would have been better served if you'd just gotten one of those crowns, other than this low energy plastic crown thing that she has. This is cut 18 of the Speaker Emeritus / Immortal Vampire. Take a listen.
I'm going to tear up the crown.
Takes this low energy crown and just tears it up. And then the president shared an AI video of him with a crown. He's wearing a crown in a fighter jet, dropping poop from a fighter jet on that hideous Democrat activist, Harry Sisson. And of course he did this knowing that people would be outraged. Did you like this, Matt?
This is very funny.
Got the Danger Zone song in it from Top Gun, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but we can't play that we can't play it though because of copyright.
Oh, bummer.
Reasons.
All right. Well, in your mind,
so if you're on YouTube, you'll just get the visual.
All right. In your mind, though, if you're on YouTube, you get the visual, but you'll be able to hear it, I think, on the radio, though, right? Well, whatever. Either way, in your mind, just play Danger Zone from Kenny Loggins.
Yeah.
He's dropping poop on Harry Sisson, who gets smacked in the head with it and covered in that. That's just outrageous. And then the whole crowd gets it. It's a poop dump. It was a giant poop dump by the president. And much better with the actual Danger Zone than me singing Danger Zone. So, and of course, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, Mike Johnson, had an answer for that. Is this the president calling for the murder of his political opponents? Like, I don't know anyone who's died from getting poop jumped. I don't know anyone who's died from that. I don't think it's a popular way to kill anybody anyway. You know? I mean, you don't have to like it. You could say it's beneath the office of the president. But I don't think anyone's ever died from getting poop dropped on their heads.
Here's Annie Fry at KFDK Radio in St. Louis.
Because I was going to maybe do a poll today on memes and Trump, but I was like, I think we've already kind of asked that question. I think we've already treaded that path, but I also maybe think that it would possibly be okay to ask on a weekly basis and track the results to see how people feel
like
about
a Rasmussen rolling poll.
Yes. The meme that we're talking about right now is the No Kings protest. So somebody makes these. Donald Trump is not spending his time in the Oval Office creating memes of him in a fighter jet dropping poop on Harry Sisson. Although if he were, I wouldn't care. This it's a weird sentence. It's a weird collection of words in English. He's not doing that, but people are doing that for him. And then the decision to tweet it out from the president's social media is, I think, where a lot of people are like, this is unbecoming of the president.
It's just so funny because Harry Sisson is just such a nobody. But
I know.
But he is a semi-prominent young Democrat influencer who's just famous for that.
I would propose that 90% of the people listening to us on the radio on 97.1 FM Talk right now do not know who Harry Sisson is.
Yeah, and
it might be
people,
higher than 90%.
Yeah, and all of the people listening are the plugged in people. That's how insignificant that guy is.
And they either completely understand and are totally amused by Donald Trump's video of Harry. So Harry Sisson, this is a meme video. It's not real. I don't think. It's not real, but Harry Sisson is like protesting at a No Kings rally, maybe in New York City, and Donald Trump gets in a fighter jet and flies over the No Kings protests and dumps poop all over Harry Sisson, among other people, at these No Kings protests.
Do you think it's making a point, Scott?
Well, yeah, he was making a point.
What's the
point? Why shouldn't the president, why shouldn't the president use a made-up video to respond to a rally that has a made-up reason? I mean, it's a non-existent reason. We don't have a monarchy in this country. We have a presidency won by Donald Trump, who won the popular vote, who won the Electoral College, who won all the swing states. We have a democracy. People voted, and they elected the president, and the only thing they're mad about is that he is lawfully executing the office of the presidency and enforcing laws that have been on the books for a long time. So he made up a video. They made up a reason to have a rally, and I think it was kind of funny, to be honest with you.
CNN lower third. Trump posts AI video of himself dumping waste on protesters.
Dumping waste. They're above that in the airport.
If the roles were reversed
and there was
some sort of MAGA rally, they'd probably literally dump waste on the Trump supporters. I mean, like, wah, 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 wah. Oh, poor baby, wah. Get over it. It's a video. Harry Sisson, congratulations on being the one person who Donald Trump highlights in that video from the start. Like, you've officially made it, buddy. High five.
I think I'm laughing so much because that's how I discovered the video, was Harry Sisson saying, apparently I got poop dropped on me today by the President of the United States.
And it's a big day for you, son.
I flipped the roles here around to see, would I laugh if this were Obama posting the same thing, doing it to a MAGA rally?
They take themselves way too seriously.
Or
they wouldn't.
Gavin Newsom.
Obama would never. Hillary Clinton could never.
No, they wouldn't.
Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, not even in the realm of possibility of what we would see from them, because they're not funny people. They don't know what funny is. Gavin Newsom would absolutely do it after he saw Donald Trump do it and be like, oh, see, I can do that too. Two can play.
That's true. He does kind of just mirror whatever Trump's doing.
Which, again, is the puppet string that Donald Trump has on Gavin Newsom. You guys are not funny. You don't know what's funny. You don't know how to laugh.
But if Newsom posts that video of himself flying an aircraft, dropping a bunch of poop on literally you. Let's say you made the radar.
See, now here's where it's unrealistic. I'm not important enough to do that.
Neither is Harry Sisson.
But no, he's way more hateable by his detractors. If I were the person that the left picked to poop on, that would be huge for us.
That's true. Well, okay. All right.
That would be a really big deal.
Yeah, because that would actually like put us on the map more. So.
I mean, honestly, it's all poop all the time on the Andy Fry Show.
One more joke, like it's and make it even worse, like make it awful, where it's Gavin Newsom flying the plane. He's dropping poop on people that you absolutely love. But do you laugh? Do you still laugh
if Gavin Newsom does it?
Yeah,
I probably laugh at him. No, I'm not laughing. I mean, Trump is laughing in that fighter jet. He's having a good time. He's wearing a crown.
I know.
The Tim Burchett video in front of Burger King, a Burger King sign where he's eating a big Whopper, and he's like, nope, no Kings here, but this is a good burger, or something like that. Tim Burchett is the funniest member of Congress that nobody knows about. When George Santos was given clemency by Donald Trump. Did you guys talk about that yesterday?
Not really.
So George Santos has been put in solitary confinement for a large portion of the time that he has been in prison. Did he do bad things? He certainly did. Did justice get served in him being found guilty? Yes, I think so. But the way they're treating him is the way that the system treats Republicans. He's being treated differently because of who he is. And Donald Trump recognized that. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, among other people, have advocated for him to receive clemency because he's having cruel and unusual punishment in their purposes. I'm not like here or there on the George Santos thing. I think he's probably learned his lesson. But George Santos is freed from prison with clemency, not a pardon. So he doesn't, his record isn't expunged. X account. And he's listing, like, I want to thank Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene and former Representative Matt Gaetz and Tim. And he just goes on. But he only says Tim. And Tim, Congressman Tim Burchett retweets that. And he said, I'm like Cher. But his name is Tim. Nobody else is named Cher.
Dang, I missed that joke too. That's
a
good one.
There are a few more Tims in the world than there are Chers or Madonnas. But all he does is retweet this and just say, I'm like Cher. That's so funny.
That's the only reason I want to run for Congress.
Oh, gosh.
Is just to be able to do that kind of stuff. And comment on poop memes and stuff. Go on TV and be like, I can be that
and like vehemently defend the pooping.
Yeah, that's that's my role. I'm one of 435 Congress members, but anytime there's a poop meme, they're like, oh, call Wiggins.
This is Wiggins' department. He is the chairman of the poop committee. It's a new committee. I haven't really heard of it yet.
Yeah, very select.
Very select committee.
Speaking of humor, Jimmy Falla had some thoughts about Senator John Kennedy and his take on the shutdown. Here's the Mark Cox Show on the latest chaos in government.
You know, dream weaver is what I said to Chuck the other day. He said, well, I need this and I need that. And I said, dream weaver, man. You know, put down the ball. We're just going to stay shut down.
You could only have heard that if you were listening to the great Jimmy Falla on Fox Across America this week. And we've got him on the phone. Jimmy, how are you?
Yo, that was amazing. That was my man, John Kennedy. He is, they should make a, remember Big Mouth Billy Bass?
I do, yes.
It was like the fish that kind of talks smack on the wall of your house. How do we not have a John Kennedy Big Mouth Billy Bass? Let's go, Mark.
I don't know. We should talk to him about that. I said you got to be a big guy, a big wig like Jimmy Fallon to get the guy on the radio. We've requested him multiple times, but
the guy has no excuse. The government's not doing anything.
Thank you.
Well, the government, the most productive wing of the government is the one that makes the sombrero memes for Trump right now.
That's true.
So, let's go.
That's true. You know, the other thing he said on your show, though, I thought was he just speaks the truth in plain man language, and I love that. Let me play this real quick.
I think I told the press my mama didn't raise a fool, and if she did, it was one of my brothers. I wasn't about to vote for that, and no Republican was, and President Trump wasn't going to support it. And that's why we're in a shutdown. We haven't asked for a damn thing. All we have asked for is to keep government open while we negotiate a budget.
Yeah, true. Jimmy, how do you argue with that?
No, you can't. That's why Republicans are the more effective party, though, because they do communicate well. The Democrats are, you know, they're making up pretend things. No one's fighting the oligarchy. No one knows, you know, no one had ever used the term oligarchy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
Unless Joe Biden was doing a commercial for the Olive Garden, he would say oligarchy. You know what I mean? By accident. Come on down to the oligarchy. And they'd be like, cut. Okay, but all of that. No kings, as you know, and we've all been making fun of. It's crazy. And again, I don't want to dismiss everybody if there's no kings rallies, because if you looked at the crowd, some of them were alive the last time we had a king. So I don't doubt they're threatened by the return. This isn't it, though.
Well, you're in New York. I looked at pictures of the crowd and I saw claims that some of those pictures were from 2017 or something like that. I don't know if that's true or not, but the crowd did tend to be older and white from what I could tell.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they were in their late hundreds. It was crazy. And that's the thing. A lot of this was, it was less of a, like a modern day protest and more of a reenactment of what those people did in the 60s and 70s.
Right.
It was like a political renaissance fair. That's really what it was. They should have had the turkey legs and stuff.
I don't know what. I think they missed out on that.
Well, none of them. Not a single one of the people that marched voted for Donald Trump. And I don't know what the numbers were. I heard Gutfeld joking about that the other day. Who was counting? Who knows if there were 200,000 or 7 million? I mean, it's hard to dispute that, so they can make up whatever number they want.
Yeah, especially like when they show you New York and Los Angeles.
Right.
I'm like, dude, half the people in that crowd live on those sidewalks. I'm like, how can you tell me if they're a protester or not? I recognize that wizard from 48th Street, the guy who always runs after the class trips. For real, that's a real guy. Like, I saw people in the crowd. I'm like, that guy's not protesting. He's angry because his spaceship ran out of gas again.
Oh, man. Do you know Curtis Sliwa?
I know him well, man.
Do you? Because play cut number 9 real quick, and let's get Jimmy's reaction to this race up there, please.
Let's be very clear. I am not dropping out under no circumstance. I've already been offered money to drop out. I said no.
That guy has made the Red Beret fashionable again, but he doesn't have an Ice Cube chance in hell here.
No chance. But what everybody is kind of missing from afar is that he has made his name in local radio in New York City bashing the Cuomo family for 40 years.
Yes.
So the idea that he's going to drop out and his supporters are going to vote for Cuomo is bananas. Like, if the Yankees don't make the playoffs next year, we're not going to root for the Red Sox instead. That's our bitter rival. You know what I'm saying? So it's not really as portable as some of those polls kind of make you think it is. So I agree that he doesn't have a chance, but I also don't think he's the reason Cuomo's going to lose. I mean, listen, you think back to Cuomo, right? He killed like 10,000 elderly people during COVID, got caught lying about it to pad a book deal, and then was Me Too'd out of office. If people have reservations about voting for him, none of them have to do with the man in the red beret. They just don't like the guy.
Yeah.
And Cuomo's openly saying, if I don't win, I'm moving to Florida. That's not exactly a guy who's in it to win it, you know? It's like, you don't bet on a team if they're scanning luxury resorts in the Caribbean on the last day of the season. That usually means they're not that fired up for the playoffs.
What happens to New York City? Like, you know, I know I've heard of this last week, and I'm sorry to do it again. You drove a cab for a while. Do you used to have to buy a medallion to even drive a cab in New York? Wasn't that the deal?
Yeah, back in the day, it was. They were worth $1,000,001. Now they're worth about $100,000. Like, for real, they crush the value. And you should always remind people I drove a cab, because then it lowers their intellectual expectations. Why do you think I do it every day? Every day on my show, I'm like, now, folks, understand, I drove a cab. I look at the world a little different. It's just a qualifier. But the truth is, what happens to the city is he's probably going to chase away a lot of the big tax base. And that just makes everything more expensive for the people left behind, and it gets a lot more dangerous. Well, but the good news is, if you live in New York City, it's because you like cheating death. So we'll make it work.
That's true. The next thing, he's going to make cab rides free. What the hell happens to the cab drivers? Who pays them? I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah, no, that's what he's doing with the bus.
I know.
The bus is free for everybody's protection. I'm like, no, nobody's safe. If anyone can get on, nobody's safe. So what's going to happen in New York if he wins? People who teach karate are going to make a lot of money.
That's true.
So lots of humor to go around in the GOP this week. But you know who's really laughing? J.D. Vance. Maybe. Although he is also an enigma in a lot of ways to conservatives. Here's more on Vance from Tara Servatius at WORD Radio.
Okay, Sugarback is back. Jen Psaki worried that Usha Vance, a noted far-left liberal, must be afraid of her husband, J.D. Vance. This has lit up the internet for some reason. And Usha Vance isn't afraid of J.D. Vance. That's just silly. It's clickbait. But for once, and I've never seen a thing like this, so I thought I'd point it out, Circleback might not be wrong about a few things. That's Jen Circleback, Psaki, as in whenever she was lying and couldn't counter what the media was asking her, she'd just say she'd circle back and then never would. So we call her Circle Back. But Jen Psaki's talking about J.D. Vance's wife here. Here's what she had to say, Usha Vance.
I think the little Manchurian candidate, J.D. Vance, wants to be president more than anything else.
Yeah.
I always wonder what's going on in the mind of his wife. Like,
agreed.
Are you okay? Please blink four times.
Yes.
We'll come over here. We'll save you. And that he's willing to do anything to get there. And that your whole iteration you just outlined, I mean, he's scarier in certain ways.
He's smarter.
In some ways. And he's young.
Yeah. And ambitious.
And agile in the sense that he is a chameleon who makes himself into whatever he thinks the audience wants to hear from him. Now, what's also true, though, is J.D. Vance is not – he's in some ways goodish on paper if you like what he believes in. I don't know. But I don't know that he can take the whole movement with him.
No way.
I don't think so either.
He's no riz.
It's got no riz, right?
Man. And he's he's got riz. If you've watched J.D. Vance, I mean, really listen to him. He's the most talented politician of the entire generation, more so than Trump and DeSantis. That's going to make some people mad, but he is, in terms of how fast he is on his feet. Fastest I've ever seen. Just absolute buzzsaw for anybody he sits down with. He is an incredible political talent. I'm really glad he's on our side, I think. She's not wrong there when she says Manchurian candidate. This is what makes me so nervous about the Secret Service. I did a podcast on this earlier this week. And the fact that the two people most responsible for securing the grounds of Butler outside of the FBI not only weren't punished for the Trump assassination attempt, they were rewarded with promotions. One of them is still securing the sites Trump goes to now. That terrifies me because if something happens to Trump, we get J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance is uniquely talented. He could take an entire generation with him somewhere, wherever he's going. And I'm not sure where that is. I don't know who the real J.D. Vance is. She's right. He is a Manchurian candidate. For somebody. I don't know who. He was recruited by the tech bros in much the way that Barack Obama was recruited by John Brennan. A lot of people don't know this about J.D. Vance. When Donald Trump first came down the elevator and started talking about fighting immigration, illegal immigration, and America First, all of this, I immediately fell in love with him, fought for him, just tooth and nail. J.D. Vance did not. In 2016, he called Trump America's Hitler, an idiot, and likened him to a Nazi. Called himself a never Trump guy. At this point, J.D. Vance was also a very big pro-LGBTQ movement guy who even did interviews talking about how he went to the hospital to support his friend when he was transitioning for the operation. That sound like the J.D. Vance you know? Well, J.D. Vance has had a lot of different identities. In fact, he's literally legally changed his name 3 times. Before he became the current J.D. Vance, he was a much better fit for his wife, who is a radical liberal. And she's not wrong. She is. Usha Vance, I don't think she's afraid of J.D. Vance. I don't think Usha Vance is afraid of him. I think she loves him. She married him. But he was right. He was a pretty left-wing guy. Kind of came out of nowhere. If you look at his background, again, recruited by tech bros, did a job he wasn't really present for, got launched with the book, and here he is. Very pro-open borders, pro-migration guy. This is what makes me very nervous about Trump's casualness with his Secret Service. I don't think he realizes how bad his Secret Service is or who's still in place. J.D. Vance takes over. I don't know where he'll take us. I think he'll be probably pretty good, pretty well-behaved in his first term because he's going to want a second term. But after that, Katie bar the door. I don't know. I don't know who this guy is. I don't know if this is the real J.D. Vance, in which case we're in great shape. Or if that guy's the real J.D. Vance, the one who said Trump was America's Hitler. In 2016, y'all, called himself a never-Trumper. Called Trump an idiot. Now, he's been very honest about it, I guess. Said his past Trump comments were wrong. But when she calls him a Manchurian candidate, she's not wrong. And I've never seen Circle Back be not wrong. Kind of new for me, but that's how I feel about J.D. Vance. What she's saying is we don't actually know whose side this guy's on. And that's correct. We don't. But I can tell you this, whoever side he's actually on, he is a damn good spokesperson. Probably the most talented of his entire generation. If you don't believe me, start watching his interviews. He just buzzsaws through these liberal commentators. So if this is the real J.D. Vance, we're in good shape. If that guy was the real J.D. Vance, we're not really in good shape. I can't stomach Trump, he once said in an NPR interview. Mr. Trump is unfit for our nation's highest office. Again, 2016. He deleted that tweet, by the way. So I don't know how you go from bragging about going to the hospital to support your friend's gender transition nip tuck snip to making fun of, you know, childless cat ladies. But J.D. Vance did. He's incredible. He's a chameleon. She's right. Who is he? I don't know. But I know before he was any of those things, he was Usha's husband. That's why she's asking a very legitimate question we should all pay attention to. But all the right people are jumping in to defend. Look, I like this version of J.D. Vance a lot. But she's right. When it all comes down to it, nobody really knows whose side J.D. Vance is on. I have a feeling they're going to fight that.
Thank you for listening to Red Meat, a place where we're not afraid to